Welcome to the Creators Marketing Method podcast, hosted by me, Gina Ireland. I promise to bring you expert yet soulful advice on how to actually make money doing what you love so you can see consistent, recurring revenue every month. On today's show, we have Nicole Drake, a beautiful lit up painter who is killing it selling her abstract paintings and fun pet portraits. But first, I want to give you a little solo teaching as always. So I want to talk to you today about the product marketing triangle. So think of a triangle with three points. Every single piece of marketing content and your marketing strategy overall needs to have components from each of the points. So what do I mean by that? Let's get a little bit into it. So one point of the triangle is education-based marketing. So there is the idea that there's two kinds of clients out there. There's clients who are already actively looking for your product or service. They're already searching on Google. They're already looking for people like you on Insta. They're great and they're important to be communicating to. However, everybody, every competitor of yours, everybody's going after these customers. The gold is where you can find customers who don't yet know that they want to engage with your products and services and teach them about your product or service and teach them why they might want to come on board your tribe. So this is where education-based marketing, that first point of the triangle, is so important. Teach new customers why they should desire your product or service, really your solution. Then you bring more customers into your tribe. So for example, can you tell your customer about how you source their stones at the AGDA gem show in Tucson? You have an end with the best suppliers, right? Did you design that piece after viewing a particular exhibit at the Getty that showcased ancient Roman jewelry? Does the piece speak to the strength of a woman warrior who goes into battle every day on behalf of her social work clients? These are kind of different things you can tease out. Talk about how your piece of jewelry is something she can wear every day when she goes into these social work appointments, and she can touch that when she's having a hard time, you know, getting through or getting something for her client. She's having those moments of doubt. She can touch that and remember she is a warrior and she is working every day for the betterment of her client. Maybe you're a hair and makeup artist who prepares clients for brand photo sessions. I know you're amazing at your craft, guys. You also help them feel vibrant and confident before getting in front of the camera, right? Before these brand photo shoots, before their wedding day, before their engagement shoots, whatever it is. And how do you do that? What does it feel like to see a client light up when you're done making them totally glam? Those are those moments that you want to kind of tease out and tell your client about. Why? You know, maybe somebody isn't thinking about hiring hair and makeup for their brand photo shoot, but you can tell them why that actually makes it so much better, why they're going to have a better day of photo shooting, why they're going to have a better end product. Are you a tattoo artist who studied with cutting edge artists in Asia? Tell that story. How did you find that cutting edge artist? How did you decide to do that? Are you a painter who learned an ancient wood carving technique in Peru? Let's hear about it. Is your nail art inspired by the latest anime? You get the idea. Like, tease out where you're coming from, what you're doing. Educate your audience on your skills, on what you're offering, on why they should care about what you're offering. All right, let's go to that second point of the triangle, personality. This is an important component of any marketing offer if you don't want to be swooped by the competition. Think of the Dos Equis, most interesting man in the world, and how his personality immediately infused feeling into choosing this particular beer. Obviously, that's a fictional character. You want to do this also with yourself. So I know in my own marketing, I try to infuse my own personality. I talk to you guys and I get really vulnerable on my Insta. I try to tell you stories about how I came to start the Creators Marketing Method. I tell you stories about what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, all of those good things. And, you know, having that personality and knowing who I am as a person, who I am as a business owner, helps you guys feel, lean in a little bit, feel part of my tribe, feel supported, feel like you belong. And that's what I want, right? And that's what you guys want too with your tribe. So infuse your personality into everything. Don't try to come off like anybody else. So the third part of the triangle is story. And I could do a whole podcast on story, guys. This is like my jam. I'm a film school nerd. I've worked in the media and entertainment industry for most of my career. I love talking about story and storytelling and the importance of storytelling. But for this particular solo teaching, let's say that throughout all of human history, we have all sat around the proverbial fire and swapped stories to tell each other about what we're doing, tell each other about our shared history, all of that. And that is how we have always, always, always connected. So being able to tell stories about your brand, about your product, about yourself, about your journey is so important. And without further ado, I want to go into this amazing interview with Nicole. She is telling some great stories about how she is an artist, about how she's showing up for her art and for her clients. And I want to share her wisdom with you guys. All right, guys, let's welcome Nicole Drake to the podcast today. Nicole, how are you doing?
I am so well. How's your morning?
Wonderful. I actually had a really cool Reiki healing session this morning. It brought up some great stuff that's like kind of creatively blocking me. So really happy about that.
That sounds fantastic. I should look into that.
Yeah, it's so great. Like sometimes you just need like a little bit of extra outside help for the creative flow and healing and just making sure that you're tapping into source and all of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I want to make this not about me and about you. So tell me your story and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So I don't know. I always feel like when I have to tell my story, I have to explain kind of geologically where I've been and where I've come from and stuff too. So I always kind of start out with just explaining that, you know, I grew up in Southeast Georgia. So I'm way on the other side of where you are on the West Coast. Grew up there, spent my whole childhood there, and then went to a small liberal arts school in the North Georgia mountains. So there's always that like extreme shift from growing up on the ocean and then ending up in the mountains and just like really inland, even though Georgia is super on the coast anyway. Just that intense shift always is super important to me from like where I come from and where I'm going. And how I got to where I am today is kind of a funny story too, because I am an artist. I do abstract painting full time. And the funny story behind that is when I was a kid, when kids were asked, what do you want to be? And some said doctors, some said astronauts, you know, business person, stuff like that. I always said artist.
Love that. you had a calling.
Yeah. And I wasn't doing art. Someone one day saw me tracing a picture out of a coloring book. It was a Little Mermaid coloring book. And I was tracing a flounder, like the little flounder from the Little Mermaid.
Totally.
And someone said, you're really good at that. You are an artist. And I said, okay, I'm an artist. And it literally did not leave me. And so I tagged to this. Oh,
so beautiful. Do you know who that person is? Or is it just... A partial memory.
Partial memory. no clue. And then from there, I just kept telling people I was going to be an artist. Through my grade school, I took art classes and then I pursued art degree and now I'm doing it. And now I'm just actually doing it.
Good for you. I mean, living in alignment with your passion and purpose, especially when you're called so young, is so amazing. And I know I'm sure there were bumps along the way when you felt, did you ever have a moment where you felt like maybe you couldn't, you know, make a living pursuing this passion as an artist?
Up until last Thursday, that moment. Yes.
All right, lady, tell us what happened last Thursday.
So the funny thing is too, so ever since I was a kid, as soon as I could get a job, 16 years old, I'm working. I came from a family who, you know, you worked for your living. You worked for the man, you had a job, you never didn't have a job, you were working to keep your life alive and your family alive. And so that was instilled in me as a kid. And as soon as I could have a job, I did. And I was always working. I worked in food service. I moved my way up into management. I've always kind of been in manager positions. And it was always the easy way out. I'm good at it. It's something I know how to do. I've done it my whole life. Why wouldn't I just work in management? And so I kept telling myself that. I kept saying, and I think I appreciated the comfort of knowing those jobs exist. Like I didn't have to build it myself. And so though that was the constant hiccup in my career, was the fact that I kept thinking I had to pursue a career that already existed instead
Ooh,
of
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so last Wednesday, I was in therapy and I was just like, man, I don't know. Things aren't changing. I have all these non-negotiables in my life. I've got to go to the gym. I want to be there for my partner. I want to walk my dog, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be there for my art, stuff like that. And I have to do my markets. I have to do all the stuff for my art business. And I just don't have time. I'm tired all the time. And I was going down my list of negotiables in my life, and everything was a non-negotiable except for my 40-hour management job. And I said, okay, that's the one thing that needs to go. And so last Wednesday, I made that decision. Last Thursday, I put in my notice and I am going full-time next week.
Oh my gosh. I have tingles just hearing this. congratulations. I know that's such a huge step, and it takes a lot of believing in your higher purpose and believing in the journey that you're on, letting go of what I hear from you is like, it was like a safety net, but it wasn't filling you up. And so congratulations. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you recently had a launch, right? A new product that you're kind of putting out there. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So my recent launch, I'm really proud of. It was my first intentional and like purposeful launch, like with a structure and everything to it. So I've always done pet paintings. That was my first like paid gig for art. And I've done it for about 3 years now. And right before the holidays, I was like, okay, so what's the one thing that I know everybody needs to kind of get their orders in for now? Because now's the time. So I launched it in the end of September, right before October. I was like, okay, so what is it that I need to go ahead and get going for the holidays? And it was those pet paintings. And so for the first time, I had a real launch where I structured it. I made sure I knew everything the customer needed to know, like sizing, what they needed from me, what I needed from them, a timeline, et cetera, et cetera. I really outlined everything. Whereas before, I would just kind of throw it out there. Like, oh yeah, also I need this. Oh yeah, also tell me about this. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I actually
learned from those experiences. It sounds like you had learned what you need. Sometimes it does take imperfect action. Just for my listeners, you were able to have this intentional launch, it sounds like, because you had been out there experimenting and doing this a few times.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think I ever realized before that those are launches. When I'm like advertising something that I'm, you know, putting out there and I want people to like, you know, be interested in, you know, I never think of those as launches. And so I think one day when I found out, you know, I am launching a product,
yes,
it put a little
bit
more structure on it. Yeah.
I love this. And this is what I teach my clients all the time. In my signature group coaching program, we actually have a whole module about launching. And I'll get a lot of pushback when people first hear that. They're like, well, I don't launch anything. I'm an artist, or I already have a product, so I'm not launching. Like, I've been doing pet portraits. But no, every time you go to the market and you intentionally, as you said, set up a new product or even an existing product and you put it out there in a systematic way, that's a launch. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And so this was my first actual one. And it was very successful. I was terrified out of my mind. I thought it was going to flop, and it was very successful. I just stuck to my, I stuck to what I said I was going to do. I stuck to the structure, you know, and the structure changes. It fluctuates, you know, something comes up, you work around it, but just knowing intentionally, I'm going to do this. And it was only for a week. I left the doors open for a week. I left the opportunity to place your orders open for a week. So I only have to structure my life around it for a week. And then after that, it's piece by piece.
I love that. Just giving yourself a very clear deadline and a very clear container in which to do this. So you're getting over that, which I have a lot of my creative entrepreneurs feeling come to me, that overwhelm of like, oh my gosh, I have to do all these things. And in 6 months, I'll have to do this launch. And there's all these products and blah, blah. No, you were like very intentional about, I'm going to create space 1 week. And I'm going to plan my butt off so this week goes well, but I'm not going to like, you know, get overwhelmed or think about all the other things. So that's beautiful, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad you had reached out to me right before the launch went out. And I was too afraid to like let you know that the launch was happening, because I was like, I don't want to jinx this. I don't need to tell anybody that I'm doing a launch. And I felt like, I don't know, I felt embarrassed and like insecure. And now that I know it goes well, man, I'm going to tell people all the time I'm doing launches.
Yeah, tell more people. I mean, obviously I wish we could go backwards and I can tell you, even if the launch had failed, like you can tell me, I'm going to support you and all those things. Yeah. Because a lot of times our launches do fail. And that doesn't mean that the whole business is failing. That means we just have to go back and fine tune the launch. We just tested something. And like you said, it's 1 week. So we just tested something for 1 week. Like it's not, you know, the rest of our lives. And then we can go back and retool. There's this great, Jeff Walker talks about launching, and he mostly speaks to an audience of people like me who have online courses and that kind of thing. But I kind of like to take his teachings and develop them for artists, because like we've been talking about, launches are not just for people doing something online. And he talks about the three passes, and he basically says that until you've launched something three times, the same thing, you really don't know what works and what doesn't. And I don't know if you feel that way. Do you feel like there's, like, if you were to do this next, you know, in 6 months from now or something like that, there would be lessons learned that you would incorporate back into it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So that, yeah, if I were to do it again in 6 months or so, that would be my second launch. And I already know exactly what I would change. And then I guarantee you during that second launch, I'd probably think of another thing I would change for a third launch. So yeah, no, I think that's a good...
No, I hear that. And that's true in my own business too, guys. Like I, and Nicole, I definitely am always going back and tweaking things. I'm always changing things. Like otherwise this like whole creative entrepreneur thing would be super boring. So it can feel overwhelmed, but like, you know, thank goodness that we do have space to be able to play with things and get in front of our dreamy customers and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of dreamy customers, talk to me a little bit about, have you intentionally thought about who your dreamy customer is for maybe both your abstract and your pet portraits, if they're different or if they're the same? Who is the kind of person you love to work with who really lights you up?
Oh my gosh. My dreamy customer, and they exist. I've seen them. I have seen them. My dreamy customer is the one who cannot turn away from the abstract painting. So the abstracts are really new to me. For someone who can say they, you know, were called to be an artist early on and they stuck it out and they've been doing it, I just started doing the abstracts earlier this year. And the abstracts were an excuse for me to kind of let go, because everything in my life was so structured. My art was so structured because I wanted it to be very realistic, like pet paintings, for instance. They're very, it's supposed to, you're supposed to see your pet in it. And so everything was so made with intention that I needed to let go. And so I started doing the abstract paintings, and they were such a lovely way for me to evolve as a person. I really became a new artist then. I looked at art a whole new way. My art is for me. So it's like a dialogue with myself. I like grow as I paint, and it's a way for me to like, it's a way for me to learn more about myself. But I love when I see like clients and customers looking at my art the exact same way. So when a customer looks at my painting, I love when they just see something new. They're constantly, something new is always popping out at them. Something new is evolving in the painting for them and in them themselves. Like they don't necessarily acknowledge that they're evolving, but like this art changed them in some way. And they were able to have kind of like a dialogue and a conversation with themselves, with the art, and kind of a little bit with me, the creator, even if I'm not present. So the art is meant to be very engaging and meant to really stimulate you. And my dreamy client and dreamy customer is the one who has that conversation with the art the same way I do. And like they see it for themselves and they just evolve with it too.
Oh, I love that. I love how intuitive and how, I can't even think of the right word. It's just, I just love that you're thinking about how your dreamy customer is going to interact with your art, as opposed to thinking, you know, usually when I ask this question, I get, and these are all great things too. So don't get me wrong. Like the demographics, like she's a woman in her 30s, you know, she drinks wine on Fridays, like these kinds of things. And even maybe we get into the psychographics, like she interacts with art because she wants to, you know, feel like she has visually beautiful things when she has a dinner party or whatever it is. But you're really getting at something that's a little bit deeper. And that I just love.
Yeah. And when I was asked that question, maybe about 3 months ago, the first time I was asked that question, you know, I was prompted to think of the demographics. I was prompted to think about, you know, the age group, everything like that. And so I did, I wrote it all out, but it felt very confining. I didn't really think that, I didn't want to subconsciously push out an entire demographic because I didn't fit that. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what demographic you fit into, what statistic you're in, what, I don't know, what category you fit into. Like, if you engage with the art in your way, and it doesn't matter what way it is, like, it's meant for you. Like, it, you're not confined.
I love that. So let's get, take that beautiful thought and let's get a little practical for my audience. So I know you have a totally lit up and great Instagram account. That's how we got in touch. And as you mentioned, we've had several conversations on the phone and coaching and different things, but I initially got connected with you on the Instagram. And so when we do Instagram, all of us, including myself for my business, my clients for their business, we need to be thinking about, you know, if we're running any ads, if we're doing anything, a little bit more of the nitty gritty on the demographics. So how do you balance those two things? Because I know you're doing that, obviously, when you're creating your content for marketing. But at the same time, I hear that when you're creating your product and everything, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into demographics. You want to talk about how people are experiencing art, which I think is beautiful. So how do you balance those two things?
Yeah, I think the balance is, so my dreamy customer, that's the long-term goal. I think if I can get into like a large, if I can get in front of such a large audience that those demographics kind of mend together and they're not separated, that's the end goal. So I think my dreamy customer is like the end goal. The balance is knowing that's what I'm striving for, but still knowing that currently I want to appeal to, you know, possibly local homeowners between the age of like 25 to 40, you know, so that I do target specific, yeah, you're correct. I do target specific demographics for like my advertising. And so I think the balance is knowing the short term, like who am I appealing to currently, but also knowing that I do still have the end goal of I want to appeal to everybody. So
I
like
love
how
that.
You bring that back.
Yeah.
I like how you bring that back to let's talk about the practical, which, you know, is currently now where I'm at. I have to be practical, but still knowing the end goal too.
And that's so beautiful. And I know in my own business, and a lot of times it comes up for my clients, it's hard to balance those two things because, at least for myself, like what has come up in my business a lot lately is I'm building a few new products, which I'm really excited about. And I'm like in the weeds building those products. And so I'm like thinking about the future. And then it's like, I also am coaching current clients. So it's making sure that, yeah, you're balancing those two things. Am I right?
Yeah, that's overwhelming sometimes. I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, I think we all do. And I think it can be overwhelming, but it's just, you know, about making sure, you know, we come back to ourselves, whatever that means for you, sitting down a meditation practice, a journaling practice, making sure we know our purpose, our passion, our reason why. Like for me, that's getting on calls with clients like you and doing coaching and feeling like I am of service and I am able to help people share their creations with the world. For you, it sounds like, you know, that's creating your art and allowing people to have a deeper appreciation for your art. So having that, but at the same time, obviously, and I know, I'm sure it's like coming up even more for you because you left your full-time job, like making sure that we're doing all the things we need to do to be growing the businesses as well. Hey creators, I'm just popping in quickly to talk about my Creators Marketing Method group coaching program for creative entrepreneurs and artists just like you. The Creators Marketing Method is a step-by-step program where I show you how to share your passion and live your truth in a way that serves your tribe. I partner with creators and show them how to actually make money doing what they love. Want to make a full-time living doing what you love and see consistent recurring revenue on a monthly basis? Then this program is for you. We will cover how to create marketing that attracts and grows your tribe and therefore explodes your revenue. Go check out GinaIreland.com to learn more. That's GinaIreland.com. This simple method has helped many of my clients double and even triple their revenue. So if you're ready to sell more of your creative endeavors without hiring expensive consultants, check it out at GinaIreland.com. So So going back to that, when I kind of was rapping about the journaling and meditation and all that, I want to talk to you about your creative flow. Do you have a morning routine, or how do you set yourself up each day so that you have a day that's conducive to both the creative flow and to growing your business?
So since my life was very structured for a very long time, and I'm with the abstract paintings and the fluidity of them, and that change in myself to become more fluid, I am trying to walk away from my morning routine and kind of let life just tell me where to be. Now, there are the non-negotiables. Like, I do have to wake up. I do have to take the dog out. I do have to feed the cat.
Sure.
But I like to start my day with, more of like the physical activity. You already kind of like wake up and know you've accomplished something because you went for a walk, you walked the dog, you went to the gym. You already accomplished something that you wanted to do that day. It's not hanging over your head like, I got to go to the gym today. So I've already knocked it out. Plus, it also encourages those endorphins. It gets you going. It gets you like feeling great for the day. And then I like to, you know, kind of take away the taskiness of everything that I have to do to start my day. So I like to start with like physical activity. Then I like to get to the actual studio itself, which is about a 25-minute drive for me into downtown Raleigh. And so instead
of tell your listeners, because I am West Coast based and serve people all over the US, and actually I have some international clients as well. So tell people when they say Raleigh, I don't know. I grew up in North Carolina, but I don't know if everybody else knows where that is.
Yeah. So Raleigh is in North Carolina in the United States. Raleigh is the state capital. For a state capital of North Carolina, it's still kind of a little bit smaller. So it's very homey. Everybody's kind of like connected. You kind of know people still, even though it's like a large city-ish. And it's the city of Oaks. So like when I drive 25 minutes into downtown from like a rural area of Raleigh, I'm actually driving along like a road filled with oak trees. And right now with the fall coming, well, the leaves don't fall down and change the way they do in the mountains of North Carolina. It's still very pretty. It's still very, you know, the breeze is going.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, the trees are swaying. And so currently right now, like I'm drooling just thinking about it. when I drive to the studio, especially right now, I'll have the windows down. I'll have a cup of coffee and, you know, I'll kind of relax into my drive instead of making it a task. That way, when I get to the studio, I've already had some physical activity. I've already given myself 25 minutes to just relax by myself. I get into the studio and I listen to some bumping music and then I just start painting. Yeah. Oh,
that's so beautiful. I love it. There's your creative flow right there. So part of your creative flow is actually, or getting in the creative flow is actually your surroundings and the place that you live. And I love that you celebrate that each day. That's so beautiful.
Now, you have to be conscious about it. So I can say that all day long, but do I do it every day? No, I've got to be like more conscious about it. Yeah. So
I mean, I hear you. We always have to, I know for myself, like course correct and do those things because some days are better than others, which, let's talk about like a bad day. Like, what do you do when you're having like either a low energy day or you're stuck or you're not in the creative flow? Do you have any practices that help you kind of like get back or anything like that?
Accomplishing small things. So yeah, like a low energy day, like let's say I do all those things. I do my morning routine that's supposed to pump me up and I get to the studio, I start painting, 30 minutes in, I'm super not feeling it. I'll either stay at the studio and maybe like organize, take stock, which is super important still for a business if you're selling physical products, you know, handle those businessy things because you're still accomplishing something. It's still a task that probably needed to be done that day, that month, that week, that month. And you get to know, like, I still did accomplish something, even if I didn't pump out 5 paintings today or something. So
totally.
I'll either stay at the studio or go home where I can sit comfortably with my dog and, you know, pull out my laptop and maybe plan something, which will just get me pumped for the next day. Like, oh man, okay, I've planned all these events that I want to do for the next month. Now I have to actually make the art for it. So usually sometimes those low energy tasks can pump you back up.
I love that. Yeah. And that's so, it's so funny because I love the way that you're talking about how you're doing kind of the admin, businessy, whatever we want to call it, part of your business as yeah. like you do that when you're kind of feeling creatively stuck. Whereas a lot of people who come to me are feeling like I'm so creatively stuck because I have to spend so much time doing the admin and stuff. But it sounds to me like you're balancing it pretty well and making sure that when you have space for the creative flow, you're doing that. When you don't, you're doing the business.
Yeah. And it's still rewarding yourself. You yeah. know, I wonder if I feel like I could give like some kind of coaching brainstorm session right here, but I wonder if
do it, lady.
I wonder if the clients who feel that they're stuck in all the admin, if, you know, if they were to reward themselves for all that work, I'm not saying they don't, but I wonder if they consciously rewarded themselves for that work by either giving themselves like a break to be creative again, or just saying like, I did do something today, like not feeling like drowned by it, I wonder.
And also yeah. just- Oh my gosh, so much. Yes, that is so beautiful. That is something I'm working with this one client who he's an artist and he just launched his website. And yeah. I was like, this is so exciting. Andrew, you just launched your website. What are you doing to celebrate? And he's like, well, I have all these other things to do. Like, you know, I need to go on to the next. I was like, no, no, no. Like, you need to pause and you need to celebrate that this mm-hmm. happened and celebrate this little win. And I know I need my own coaching on that sometimes. When we have these big lofty goals and we're building these big businesses, it's easy to get caught in the like, what's the next goal? What's the next goal? What's the next mm-hmm. thing I need to do? And you're so right. Taking the pause between a feeling and an action is so important. So taking the pause to celebrate, to reward yourself in that kind of way can be so beautiful. Do you have any suggestions for ways that maybe my clients can reward themselves, the listeners, or maybe that you reward yourself when you have a big win?
Yeah. It's like you said, taking that pause on the business, being an entrepreneur and working for yourself, sometimes you don't stop. You do work at home, you do work on the drive, you do work wherever you do work, if it's an office, a studio, stuff like that. It just never stops. Being an entrepreneur never ends. And so
yes,
I wonder
ma'am.
If, I wonder if something I've started doing this year is I'm giving myself vacations. So next week is me and my partners, it's our 6 year anniversary.
Congrats.
Thank you. We decided to take not one day, but 2 days vacation in the mountains.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is a beautiful time of year to go to the mountains.
It is. It is. I'm glad we thought of it. We were going to do something way too extreme. And I said, oh, can we just go sit somewhere? I don't want to do anything. And so that's what we've decided to do.
That's so beautiful. And I love that idea of, yeah, taking time away from the business.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's not like when you're an entrepreneur, it's not like having a, you know, classic job where you go in and then when you leave the office, even if you have some emails and things on your phone, it's not your business. When, mm-hmm. when you're growing your own business, you're right. There's always things to be done and there's always things. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take the pause, burnout can happen so quickly.
Yeah. So it's the burnout. You're going to burn out. Even though I wasn't full time, I have taken months hiatus from art because I've burned myself out. Like mm-hmm. I've just gone. And then I literally say the words, I quit. And then I quit. And then I pick it back up because I can't stay away from it. But I fully like, I stop painting and it's miserable. So you got to give yourself those like big wins and big celebrations, like going to the mountains. And I'm not taking any art. I'm not taking my laptop. I'm deleting Instagram. That's what I did last time.
Oh, I like that. That's a great one. I need to actually mm-hmm. start doing that on my days off because you pick up your phone, you see the notifications. It's easy to get in that vortex.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. And it's very relaxing when you take yourself away from it. There's a little bit of anxiety because I'm like, oh, my business. But overall, it can help relax. So those are like, I think those are the big things to reach towards. Like, okay, I've got a vacation coming. There's something to look forward to. But also, for instance, your client who launched his website, go have a celebratory dinner. Go mm-hmm. out, leave the laptop at home, keep your phone in your purse or in your pocket and go have a nice dinner where you just sit down
totally.
And appreciate the work that you've done. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. that's beautiful. So beautiful. So switching gears a little bit, now that we said you know, you need to take pause from the businesses, from your businesses. What happens when you're in your business? So let's talk, you've been just killing it on Instagram. So I want to talk about what do you feel is a good mix of people versus products on your posts? Because I think you do a good job of this.
I've been asked that question before, and I'm going to be really honest. I don't quite understand the question. Can you help me
understand that? thank you for that. Yeah. So one thing that I am always coaching my clients on, so I have, let's use an anecdote to kind of get at this question. So I had one client and he's a 17-time AGA Spectrum Award, which is like the, you know, biggest award for jewelry designers and all that. And you go through his, and I won't say who he is, and we have worked on changing this, but you go through his Instagram and it's just pictures of his jewelry in a light box with a gray background, which is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I love that he, you know, I love his jewelry. It's beautiful. But if I scroll through his Instagram and I'm wanting to connect with him as a person, him as a designer, or even his brand, there's really nothing to hang on there. And so I feel like, and this is why I really connected with you on Instagram, you have a good mix of showing who you are and how your process works. You show some works in progress. You talk about yourself. You talk about North Carolina. You talk about your creative flow, different things like that. You don't just put, you know, every single post is one of your paintings. And then it's like, the, you know, the caption might be, this is a beautiful painting I made. I'm like, obviously it's an exaggeration, but yeah, come buy it. Like you don't do that. What you do, I think, is have a great mix of personal story, you as a person, all that, and also your products. And are you consciously doing that? Or are you kind of just intuitively doing that?
As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's easy for me. Cause I didn't do it intentionally. It's just, I make the art. Like there's so much of me that's in the art. I hate how cliche that is, but I just have to accept
it. Isn't
it. Like,
though. I mean, it's cliche for a reason, maybe. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Probably. No, you're okay. but yeah, there's so much of me in the art and I don't think my art makes sense without knowing me.
Guys, wait, say that again, because that is it, lady. Like that is what all of you guys who are listening need to really focus on as you're getting your creations, whether it's a product or a service out there. So Nicole, please say that again.
you are not going to understand my art unless you know me. Yeah, yes. That's just how it is. That's how it is for me. And I think I realized that the minute I had a conversation with like one of my dreamy clients. I have seen them face to face. I have met them. I know they exist. And the reason that clicked for me was because one day I explained my art and at first they were just kind of looking at it. But as soon as I explained it, it resonated with them. I literally saw that click in their eyes. Like they just connected.
That's beautiful.
Because now they understood it because something between me and my art resonated with them and they identified with it, but they wouldn't have identified with it if I hadn't put that intention behind the art. And so I saw it happen one day and that's when it clicked for me.
And I love that you took that offline, you know, brick and mortar, like real, like in real life, however you want to put it, experience, and you brought that to social. That's great because you're right. It's easier to see that click and to have that interaction when you're sitting with somebody. And then sometimes on social, we kind of forget that it's really the same connection everybody's looking for, that authentic, deep connection with you as a person and you as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am glad I asked you to clarify that question because that I think is a little bit more clarifying for me and how I approach my social media and it's clarifying in a way that I had never thought about it before.
Oh, yay, so I love you. That. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And do you do all the photography and everything on your Instagram and Facebook and everything yourself?
I do. I am starting to outsource. So I have done actual photo shoots with an up and coming photographer in the Raleigh area.
Beautiful.
So he has done more of my in-person photos. So that's how I get more of me on the timeline or on the feed. The product photos I do myself. And I've got to say that if you're going to take photos by yourself, you have to pay attention to lighting. It matters so much. Like take the time to get that perfect morning light that perfect midday light. Go outside with your product. That natural light is amazing. It's such
natural light is so much better. I mean, I play around with my, you know, Diva light and my softbox light and all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's great to have. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful tool. And I recommend it for my clients because we can't always, especially as we go into winter and all of that, have, you know, the natural light we want.
Yeah.
And if you can get outside with your products or with yourself when you're doing your videos or anything like that, that's really the gold standard, I would say.
I think so too. And, you know, I say that and anybody who goes on my Instagram in the next month or so is going to be like, Nicole, your photos were not taken outside, and they have a yellow, dingy hint to them from your terrible apartment lights. And yes, I have not been able to get outside. And that is why I've taken away the negotiable 40-hour job, because I need my art to look good. I need my art to have the time and attention it deserves. And
I love that you're doing that for yourself, but I also want to commend you, like, instead of saying, oh, I can't get the lighting I want, so I'm just not going to do anything. You took imperfect action and you're still building something, even if it's not exactly looking the way you want it to look, but you have a goal and you've put in place, like, you're going to start working with this photographer. You know that when you can get outside, it's better. Like, all of these things you're going to continue to add and implement into your marketing, but at the same time, you're not paralyzed by, some of these things. You're taking imperfect action.
The and that was a big lesson I learned this year too, knowing that if you don't put yourself out there, nothing's going to come of it. So even when I apply to, like,
you're dropping so many knowledge bombs. I love this.
When I apply to, like, art shows, I used to. Oh my gosh, I suffer so bad from comparisonitis. So when you're on social media, or if you go to another, like, art studio and you see all this art and you say, mine's not good enough. And then you get paralyzed and you don't proceed because you're worried about how imperfect it's going to be. You're worried it's not going to look good. You know, it could look good, but you don't have the time. So you just don't do it. And then nothing comes of it. You don't get into the art show. You don't get the art grant because you didn't try. There was no, you didn't put yourself out there. So nothing could come to you. And that was a big lesson I learned this year. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't, like you said, get yourself out there, take imperfect action, try. You're A, setting yourself up for failure because you're not even trying. So of course you're going to fail. And B, a lot of this is a feedback loop, I think, for our art and also for our businesses. Unless we start to put things out there and see how people are reacting and see what's sticking and what's not sticking and see what works and what doesn't work and all of those things, we can't then get better. So we're actually like holding ourselves back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need that feedback. You need that engagement with your audience to know what's going to work. So right now I'm doing the Inktober challenge.
Oh my God. I love that. Tell me about that.
Inktober. I don't know when it started, but it popped up on my radar maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. It's the month of October. Every day you create an artwork, preferably with ink. So you could do, like, liquid ink, you could do pens, stuff like that. But this year I took it as an excuse to do mini abstract painting, and which I do have fluid ink in. So I guess it kind of counts towards Inktober. And when I post them every day, I've seen the ones that get more engagement, the customers or my followers who say, this is my favorite. Oh my gosh, no, I have a new favorite. Those are the ones that I'm actually going to create into full abstract paintings, because I got that feedback. I know what customers like, and that's what I'm going to create as the actual large, like, 4-foot by 4-foot painting. And then the ones that don't get that engagement, then I don't create them larger. And now I know.
But
I wouldn't
have
known if you didn't put it out there.
Yeah, you don't know until you start testing. Oh, so true. So true. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. This was so great. And you dropped so many knowledge bombs. And I want to make sure that we'll have all this in the show notes, but I want to make sure that people are able to reach out to you and connect with you. So how can they find you?
Yeah. So I do prefer my Instagram as a way to find me, because you get the visual of all my art and you get to see who I am as an artist. So definitely type into Instagram, Nicole Drake Paint. That's N-I-C-O-L-E. Oh, wait, you're putting this in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, no, it's good to have the audio and the, you know, the, what am I trying to say? The typing, the show notes as well. So that's great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Nicole Drake Paints on Instagram. I had to put a pesky underscore in there, but you'll find me. It's the only one that pops up. The website's the same way. It's NicoleDrakePaints.com. And if you search Nicole Drake Paints on Facebook, you'll find me there too.
Beautiful. So all you guys check out Nicole, tell her what you liked about what she was saying on this podcast, how you connected with her, and also check out her abstract paintings, guys. They are really next level. Every time they pop up in my feed, I know I have a little bit of a brighter moment. Sometimes they really make me think and stop, and that's what art should do. So it's really beautiful. And I can't wait to see all these pet portraits you're getting out there as well.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to chat with you next time.
Great. Thanks so much, Nicole.
All right. Bye.
Bye. This has been the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Text creators to 66866. That's CREATORS to 66866 to get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.